Since its founding in 2010, the Afghanistan National Institute of Music has provided a unique education and music training to Afghan children. Back in 2013, the group made a triumphant visit to the U.S. This month, 3 years after the Taliban retook control of Afghanistan, they returned amid a completely changed world. Senior arts correspondent Jeffrey Brown reports for our arts and culture series, Canvas.
A recent evening at Washington, D.C.'s Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. Young musicians from Afghanistan, aged 14 to 22, joined by members of the D.C. Youth Orchestra, playing a mix of Western and traditional Afghan music. Joyful sounds, a hugely appreciative audience. Never far off, says the founder of the Afghanistan National Institute of Music, Ahmad Sarmast, a sense of grief and pain.
We come here to let the world know that Afghanistan is today a silent nation.
A silent nation?
Yes, because Afghanistan is the only country today in the world where its people are denied all their music rights and cultural rights.
From its founding in 2010 until the Taliban regained power and reimposed its ban on music and a crackdown on the rights of women and girls, the institute, known as ANIM, offered Afghan children a free, secular, co-educational curriculum and musical training. The only such school in the country.
Afghanistan National Institute of Music back was quite often called the happiest place in Afghanistan.
Students studied violin, cello, and other Western classical instruments. Also, rubab, sitar, and more from the Afghan musical tradition.
There was two objectives: to encourage the Afghan people to pick up their own instruments and to learn their own musical culture, to show them that Afghan instrument is capable to be used in any context. We also wanted the world to know that Afghanistan is committed to musical and cultural diversity.
Drawn from Afghanistan's ethnically diverse population, ANIM's student body included girls like now 20-year-old violinist Savinch Majidi from Mazar-i Sharif, whose childhood experience was common for girls with parents desperate to find a path to a better life.
And my mother just think that I don't want to be grow up my girls like other girls, that they are thinking, oh, when I grow up, I have to marry, I have to cook, I have to make a baby, like that things. Because of that, she sent me to the orphanage to grow up in another way.
And now 20-year-old percussionist Shagufa Safay from Jalalabad.
You know, we're from different cities, but we come together and we play together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we say that music has power to bring people together.
Among the boys, 16-year-old Samir Akbari from Kandahar, who fell in love with the viola. It was a new instrument, but also a very new experience.
Everyone was in the same class, boys and girls. They was eating together, playing together, making music together.
Soon, ensembles were formed. First, the Afghan Youth Orchestra, which Sarmast took on tour to the U.S. in 2013.
We wanted to show to the world that how far Afghanistan moved after the Taliban regime has been ousted in Afghanistan.
Then, crucially, the Zora Women's Orchestra.
I think the main idea of that, to show the Afghan men that girls also can do without men, without taking help from them. They can do everything.
They can do anything without the men.
Yeah.
And they can make music together.
Yeah, of course. They can do everything.
But on August 15th, 2021, everything changed.
I went to my school. There's a lot of people running, and they said that Taliban is now in Afghanistan, in Kabul. They're in Kabul. Go to your home.
Within hours, the invading Taliban targeted the school, burning books and destroying instruments. A week later, the ransacked buildings were turned into a Haqqani Taliban barracks.
We went to the safe house, and we were there like for 1 month. I couldn't see outside, and it was too hard for me. I had a hot depression, and yeah.
After several months in hiding, Sarmas negotiated the evacuation of students and staff, most leaving family behind. First to Qatar, then to Portugal, where Anim has been based since, first in Lisbon, now in Braga. There, Portuguese conductor Tiago Moreira da Silva began working with them. He knew nothing of Afghanistan or its music, he says, but was completely transformed at the very first meeting.
I started to cry, like, because it was so special to be around them.
You started to cry?
Yeah. It was really, I don't know, it was too much. Because you see that people were, like, suffering a lot in a different country, mm-hmm. in a very difficult situation. Mm-hmm. But they found, through music, something that could make them happy.
Happy, yes. But also, says Shagufa Safay, a deep sadness.
I didn't want to leave Afghanistan, but my father said that you're a musician, you're a girl. Like, there's no future in Afghanistan for you. But I accepted and I left Afghanistan, first of all, to saving my own life, and the other hand, save music of Afghanistan.
With the world's attention turned elsewhere, that focus on preservation is an even more urgent goal of the musicians.
All the performances that we are doing and all the speeches and the interviews and publicity and media publicity that goes around, it helps to bring back Afghanistan to the radar of the international community.
It was a message they brought this time to Carnegie Hall in New York and to the Kennedy Center, where they were joined on stage by internationally renowned American soprano and longtime supporter Renee Fleming.
Oh, I know you're having a wonderful time because I was in the audience listening too. You sound fantastic.
And they performed for an audience that included many from the exiled and emigre Afghan community.
I feel really, really good when I see my Afghan people that support us and they clap for us. I think Anim and Afghan Youth Orchestra, Zohra, it's a symbol of hope.
Ahmad Sarmast is now working to bring several hundred family members to Portugal, including younger siblings he hopes will take up instruments and keep the music alive. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Jeffrey Brown at the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in Washington, D.C.